I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A Radio Info Raw Edit podcast. The conversations behind our reports.
Kieran Davis, congratulations on a successful year. Net profit after tax of about $33 million. Revenue up 16%. Not a bad year.
A great year, to be honest. For a couple of reasons. Obviously, we achieved a number of milestones from a strategic perspective that we'll talk to. But I think really the important thing to get across is the good news that this result is for the industry of radio. Advertising is coming back. Quarter four revenues were similar to quarter four 2019, which is the benchmark that we all seem to be looking towards. Audiences to radio continue to grow, and radio's role in the advertising mix, communications mix, is as strong as ever. Our margins increased with the returning revenue, and we expect that trend to continue into 2022. So a lot of really good positives for our business, yes, but also I think for the radio industry as well, because our role has never been more important from a content perspective, and thankfully with revenues returning, we'll see a lot more growth for the industry coming in the next 12 months.
Yeah, well, we hear a lot about the revenue ups and downs, and hopefully revenue will return. And it's really COVID and the effect of COVID. In fact, I think COVID's personally affecting you right now, isn't it?
I am. So apologies for the quality of this broadcast, because I'm actually in the car on the way home. I've just been informed that one of the kids in the house is positive, so I'm on my way to spend 7 luxurious days at home.
Lucky you. Well, let's hope you're okay, and that delivering meals to the closed door of the child with COVID is successful for them as well as you.
I know. Please, God. Well, if I'm going to get it, I want to get it today, not in 6 days' time.
Yeah, true enough. You reported a bit of a wobble in the results presentation today for ad bookings this month, presumably due to COVID. What's going on there? Yeah, definitely. I want to look at your revenue breakdown. Local revenue is about 2/3 of the company's income, national revenue about 28%, and digital revenue about 5% when I look at the figures. But digital revenue is your fastest growing segment, up 18%. How are you balancing keeping existing revenue streams, which are pretty much mostly broadcast radio, while still expanding digital for the future?
We're as an industry, we're doing a very good job talking to the strengths of radio in that audiences are still growing. Radio's role in the advertising mix is still very well regarded. It's a call to action. It's a return on investment. It's a retail-driven message. It's a very good secondary planner, multiplier planner to TV, out-of-home, digital. We're doing a very good job showing the engagement of audiences with content and with advertising. And radio's share of advertising over the last 15 years in Australia has always been between that sort of 7.5% and 8.5%. And that will stay. From what we're hearing with agencies and talking to brands and CMOs, the role of radio in communications mix is really, really strong and powerful and not diminishing. And I think as an industry, that and showing that, and I think we're doing a very good job with that. The interesting thing is that we're able to prove, because of apps like iHeartRadio, we're able to prove that people are listening to podcasts at different times to radio. Podcast usage is very much in the later afternoon, early evening, weekends, when people have more time. And surprise, surprise, that's at a time when radio listening is not as strong. The role our talent plays at breakfast and the role that radio plays in terms of listenership at breakfast, and morning and drive, that's still as strong as ever, but they're moving into different forms of audio at different times of day. And I think the really key thing to get across, which we talk to clients and brands and CMOs a lot about, is that radio is unique in that it's something that you do when you're doing something else. You're in the car, you're going for a walk, you're in the gym, you're at home, you're in the office. You know, you are not using podcasting at a time when you're eating into radio. Netflix is eating into free-to-air TV, for instance. That's not happening in audio. It's very complementary. And I think as a result of that, we're able then to sort of target that more digital revenue, which is 50% of the ad market, while not affecting or cannibalizing radio. And that's a key thing that the industry needs to do and keep doing over the next few years. But it's been a good start so far, in my view.
Yeah, audio is the only medium where you don't have to look at a screen to get the full effect.
Yep, absolutely. Switch the world off if you want to.
Yep.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Let me delve into a couple of things you mentioned in today's presentation, some of your growth areas. You want to grow podcasting. We've kind of talked about that. You also focused on live radio streaming.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the explosion of smart speakers engagement and listening to radio. That's a very strong piece as well. And, you know, with the trial that's going on with GFK, with the ability maybe to break out live streaming down the road, that potentially offers a new revenue stream with higher CPM for all radio operators. So it's something that we are very cognizant of, that we're watching. You know, getting people to sign in on an app to listen to live radio is going to be a challenge. There's no doubt about that. But if they do, you can drive 3-4 times higher CPM if that is possible. So it's an area where podcasting will obviously be the fastest growing one and maintain that level of growth. But down the road, I think there's a new revenue stream for radio operators for live streaming.
Oh, yeah, good point. Talking of new revenue streams, you're planning to get more ears and get more money out of 15 to 29-year-olds with your plans for The Edge. Tell me about them.
Well, The Edge is technically a regional station that we own in Sydney. And because it's regional, it doesn't form part of metropolitan surveys. But we know it has a unique place in the consumption of radio in Sydney, because it's really the only station that sort of targets that R&B hip-hop genre, which is the leading genre worldwide musically, and in Australia too. We know through the social engagement that we have and the numbers that we see coming through that the format is really well liked. But equally, we know that if we were to try and relaunch The Edge as something different, it can't be just the old radio model, which is why we've researched a lot around the consumption habits of that demographic. We've recruited content specialists who are familiar with providing and distributing content to that age group. And we've also recruited commercial people who have spent a bit of time working with brands who target the audience on a much more partnership level, a much more integrated content piece. We're very excited by what that could do. We're going to roll it out nationally. Yes, it's going to be available, obviously, on FM in Sydney and DAB. But more importantly, it's about creating content that can be consumed across all platforms of media that 18 to 29-year-olds consume media on. And we're probably going to launch that towards the end of March. So it's been a busy time for that team, but exciting, and looking forward to seeing what that can do. Because, as you know, our KISS brand celebrates and targets more 30 to 45. Pure Gold tends to be 45 plus. So if we get this right, there's a real opportunity to build a new audience for us and new incremental revenue.
So what came first, Mikey and Emma leaving, or the new strategy and they decided to jump when they heard about it?
Oh, it was a bit of both, really, to be honest. I mean, we were sorry to see Mikey and Emma go, but, you know, they have a very successful form of broadcasting. They're very good at it, but it probably just didn't fit where we want to take the station going forward, and I'm glad to see that they're staying together and working elsewhere, to be honest.
You also talked about ARN Regional, the new name for your Grant Broadcaster station acquisitions. We've talked about that in a lot of detail, so I won't spend lots of time on it. But now that you've had those stations for a few weeks, is the strategy pretty much as you had assumed it would be?
The strategy is pretty much as we assumed it would be. I think the really encouraging thing is the level of enthusiasm that I've seen and heard within not just the ARN Metro business, but the ARN Regional business as well. You know, it's you know, talking to a few of the guys there, everybody sees the opportunities, everybody's excited about the potential. You know, we're going to be bringing together maybe 150-odd people in a few weeks' time to sort of get to know each other, introduce the two networks together and start building relationships. So it's actually really exciting, and we're, you know, we've a good integration roadmap. We're not going to run too fast, too quickly. We're very clear on the priorities that we have, because we don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. But so far so good, and you know, it's a cracking business as we knew it was. We had a board meeting the other day, and Alison joined the board and offered very good insights that she continues to do more regularly with the management team. So I'm really pleased with how the first few weeks have gone, to be honest.
And what about 4KQ? How's that sale process going?
We kicked that off on the 4th of January when we acquired completed Grant Broadcasters. Really, again, encouraged by the level of interest that we've had. Jeffrey's are running the process for us. We've had a number of NDAs signed. We have a management presentation that's ready to go. And I, you know, I'm encouraged by the span of people interested. And obviously it's early days, but we're targeting sort of the end of quarter three to have that process done. And again, early days, but I don't see any reason why we shouldn't have that done.
So you've got a span of people. How many is that?
It's high single digits.
Okay, good.
I think it's worth saying again, and I know you and I did speak about this, we're sorry to see 4KQ go. It's a cracking station. It's got great heritage in the market. It's got really good talent and people working on it on and off air. But obviously with ACMA rules, we have to. But, you know, we're sorry to see it go.
And Soprano was also mentioned in the presentation. I thought you were selling that.
We still are looking to sell. We're a 25% shareholder in that business. We got close to a transaction, closing a transaction middle of last year. But for whatever reason, we didn't. We walked away. We own 25%. The founder owns 75%. We've been in the business for 25 years. It's a global CPaaS. Operation that doesn't have any synergies to a localized audio offering, if you like. But you know, our balance sheet is positioned, you know, very strongly. We think we'll be less than 1x leveraged at the end of the year. We're not in any rush to sell. We have an expectation on the value that we want to realize after 21 years. And you know, CPaaS valuations have come off a fair bit in the last 6 months, which might impact valuation if we were to sell today. So we're not in any rush, but we still engage and have engaged Macquarie to look at potential buyers. There is interest. It's a fantastic business. You know, it does 30 million of EBITDA, and there aren't many, you know, businesses, CPaaS businesses around the world that have that sort of margin on 110, 115 million of revenue. We've invested a lot more in R&D in the last 12 months to sort of build the roadmap for the next 3 to 5 years. Particularly actually in the area of audio AI for marketing communications, which is interesting. But overall, we're not in any rush. If the offer comes out of the right offer, we'll take it. And ideally, we would be looking at a cash transaction as opposed to a scrip transaction.
Kieran Davis, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Steve. Talk to you soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.